All right, 49ers fans, they come up short, to say the least. The 49ers-Rams game's over. Thank God, right? Like, that was one of the worst games watching start to finish. I felt like there were intermittent spots of hope throughout several portions of today's game. But whenever you start off, you know, down 21 to nothing, and it only gets like you, it's hard to come back from that. So the 49ers lose to the Rams. They're kneeling out the ball as we speak, 42 to 26. Losing by 16 against a division opponent, never okay. Never okay. Was it all bad? No, most of it was bad. We're going to go through a lot of kind of what happened, what didn't happen, all those different things, and some of the positives, because whenever we talk about like these post-game shows, which I was not at the game, we call it 49ers therapy. That's what we've been calling it for a long time. And I know like a lot of people tune into this show specifically that don't watch a lot of our content to try to feel better about what has happened. And like, let's just be very real. This was not good. This was quite bad. And whenever you look at football and there's three phases of the game, there's offense, defense, special teams. Special teams is awesome. Offense, pretty damn good. The defense is perhaps the worst in the NFL. It's catastrophic. It is so freaking bad. So whenever you look at just what you allowed them to do, like one, you let a team come in, put up 40-plus points. You don't turn the ball over once. Got a dropped interception from Renardo. That could have helped. Would that made up 16 points? No, absolutely not. But, man, 400 total yards. They go 5 for 6 in the red zone. They rush for 126, 5 for 9 on third downs, 1 for 1. Like, they don't get called for one penalty. Like, it's insane. They didn't get called for one penalty. The refs are absolute dog shit. I'm sorry. That's like one of the worst officiated games ever. It's not like there were a whole bunch of egregious calls. It's just called one way. Just one way. Not one penalty. Not one. And anytime there was a penalty, it was a, you know, offsetting penalty on both sides. Like, the refs, the worst people on the planet. I'm sorry. Like, they have to interject and force whatever the hell they want. I hate the refs. And so, like, I'm trying to, like, anger is an appropriate emotion. Frustration is an appropriate emotion. I think that there are really, really a lot of different people that you could signal out in a negative sense, and we're going to do that, like why this game went the way that it did. But man, whenever you have to go against the refs that were doing the bullshit that they were doing, like obvious illegal shifting penalties against the Rams on third and short that they just don't call. Three guys were moving at the same time. Nobody got set. They just let it go. Then you got Kittle getting set on a fourth down and four. Everybody was set. They replayed it on the, you know, the broadcast several times. Like, dude, that's not a penalty. But sure, they're going to throw that penalty. On us, they will. Fourth and four. Like, the crucial downs, refs showed up big time. Not that every penalty should have been called or whatever, but, like, it's just bad. It is bad. But was that the difference in a 16-point game? It would have been a lot more competitive. The refs did everything they could to stop it from being competitive. And anytime the 49ers got within one score, offensive drive aided by refs whenever they didn't need it, let's just be very honest, and defensive drives by the 49ers, offensive drives by the 49ers, you helped out the Rams defense with penalties. Very, very frustrating. Shout out to Eric. Appreciate the super chat. He says, hi, I'm the NFL, and I believe in fake football. I like to get into politics. Completed crap. Stalled our drive on purpose. Yeah, it's, man. Yeah, I'm with you, Eric. To say frustrated is an understatement. Absolutely. Grand, what's up, my man? It was so cool seeing you last week. Even the booth pointed out the last three bad or no calls. It was just, they were doing everything they could to keep the Rams where they were. And like, there is a narrative that they are pushing, and it is 100% evident. I'm not a tinfoil hat guy, but whatever, it always goes the same way. And the booth is pushing MVP, 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 Stafford, and all that kind of stuff the whole damn time. Should tell you something. Should tell you something. Phil, my man, appreciate the super chat. Glad to see Mac rolling out. One of the positives for sure, Mac Jones. I have a list of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 positives. Mac Jones is my number two positive. Dude goes out there, plays his rear end off, finished 33 of 39, 319 pass yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 interception. And the interception, you're trying to give your guys a chance on fourth down. Like, that was a positive decision. I know it registers as an interception, but he was awesome. Didn't get sacked once, 115 passer rating. Like, I'll say this, Mac Jones was the better quarterback out of the two. Like, he played better than Matthew Stafford. And guess what? He wasn't throwing to Puka Nacua. He wasn't throwing to Davante Adams. And he, like, 100%, like, Mac Jones was the better quarterback. The problem was the supporting cast on the offense and special teams, whatever else. Like, wasn't the same. But yeah, I thought Mac Jones played incredible. The rollout, moving against his body, throwing against his body, all that stuff. Like, he's looking smooth. He's looking healthier week in and week out than any point we've seen, which I love that. Mac Jones is awesome. Like, he played very, very well. George Kittle, I thought, was the best player we had. He goes out there, 9 targets, 9 catches, 84 yards and a touchdown. Did miss a couple blocks. That's going to be expected against Rams defense. There's a lot of movement on that defensive side, so it's kind of hard sometimes to, like, place, like, okay, my block's supposed to be here, and then they move. But George Kittle, he plays every single snap. They were down 23 points or something like that. 23 points in the fourth, and that dude is playing like it's the damn Super Bowl in overtime. There's just people that you believe in. There's just people that refuse to take plays off. There's just people. Now, it's not the entire team. And when we get into the negatives, there's a lot of damn issues on this 49ers roster with players that quit, literally quit, through horrible football IQ, through horrible effort, through horrible execution, through just major, major decision-making process flawed. But it sure as hell ain't George Kittle. George Kittle is unbelievable. And it's nice to finally see George Kittle and Mac Jones get on the same wavelength. 9 targets, 9 catches. That is awesome. I love that. I really, really do. Eric, appreciate the super chat again, man. He says, in 2009, the NFL changed their IRS status from sports organization to sports to entertainment. Fake. One reason Chiefs win. Man, they definitely are pushing certain narratives. And I'm not the big, like, tin hat, you know, whatever. But, man, this was so one-sided. And you're the home team. Now, NFL Ref Stats, which is a really cool account, they send me a report on officiating. This officiating crew, home teams win, like, 30% of the time with this officiating crew. We were home. No such thing as home field advantage in Levi's. Good Lord. Yeah, I got a lot of messages from people that were there on the Sun side. And yeah, it was a struggle out there. But shout out to the fans that were there, the faithful, best fan base in all of sports. Anyway, I don't want to go down that road. I don't want to go down that hole. Special teams was positive. Yeah, we're going to get a negative, but I want to balance out. This will be the last positive. We'll get some negative. We got to get some stuff off our chest, right? It's 49ers therapy. We're going to talk about the things that pissed us off, but special teams continues to be great. Thomas Morstead is a top 3 punter. I've been saying top 5. Continues to just do the damn job. Sky Moore getting some awesome returns. Great field position in the punt and kickoff game, which I love that. Just a lot of positive. Did get an extra point blocked, which did hurt. Yeah, forced yourself to go for 2 whenever you didn't want to do that. That didn't pan out. Made the game feel like a bigger stretch than it needed to be. I thought that was huge. But special teams positive. Nonstop positive, which, for somebody that's been doing this show, this is show number 1,551, 1,500 plus shows. Special teams has been a detriment to the team for 9 out of 10 years. I guess 8 out of 9 years. We're completing year 9 here. For 8 out of 9 years, special teams has been a negative. This is the first year that I've covered the 49ers, if you want to use that language, whatever this is, that it's a positive. Your special teams is a positive. You did get the extra point block, which was very frustrating. And it was weird because you got Hyde on the kick, We'll go through every single offensive, defense, special teams play. That's on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon. Look in the link in the description of this video. If you want to support the show, that's where to go. Also, I do have to say this. A little bit of programming. YouTube's pulling down all of our videos. So because we used to run tape on our channel, so we're getting flagged for that. So like, there's a very real possibility, we have attorneys involved already, that my channel is going to get pulled down from YouTube. So if YouTube is the way that you watch the 49ers Rush, please take the time. Just go to the49ersrush.com/links, L-I-N-K-S, and it has everywhere our show is put out, whether that's Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, you know, blah, 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 wherever, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, everywhere. Because I know a lot of you, I mean, we've got like 20,000 subscribers somewhere around there on YouTube, but I'm just letting you know, this show's going to be pulled down for an extended period of time, probably during this season. So I'm just telling you right now, please, before you guys end this show, I'm not quitting. I'm not going anywhere, but YouTube's pulling our stuff down. It is very, very frustrating. Yeah, we are still receiving the tips and stuff, but we're getting strikes for the stuff that we published like 7 years ago. And so YouTube's going to YouTube. I don't know what else to say. They put AI in charge of things, and I don't know. How many cease and desist letters can you get from a freaking billion-dollar company? I have no idea. That's from the NFL, but anyway.
This episode is brought to you by Prize Picks. The hard-hitting football action is even better with Prize Picks. The weather might be changing, but the feeling of being right never gets old. So keep the season rolling on Prize Picks by getting $50 instantly in lineups when you play your first $5. My favorite thing about Prize Picks is just how quick and easy it is. You pick two stats, more or less. If they hit, you get paid. George Kittle, more or less than 49.5 receiving yards. Christian McCaffrey, more or less than 65.5 rush yards. It's that simple. Plus, you play Prize Picks to get action on football in more than 40 states, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Prize Picks is the only app that offers stacks, meaning you can pick the same player up to three times in the same lineup. Want to pick more on Josh Allen's pass yards, rush yards, touchdowns? Now you can in the same lineup, only on Prize Picks. So download Prize Picks app today and use code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. That's code 49ers to get $50 in lineups after you play your first $5 lineup. Prize Picks. It's good to be right. The holidays are upon us, and who in your family is the hardest to shop for during the holidays? Is it kids, partners, parents, in-laws? Well, Cozy Earth is a gift that they'll truly appreciate. We started with their sheets, and let me just tell you, I'm a super hot sleeper. The wife is exact opposite. Multiple blankets, dog curled up at her feet, whatever else. We went with Cozy Earth sheets. Both of us slept wonderful. It is absolutely off the charts. And here's what's crazy. They're promoting a 100-night refund, meaning you get the sheets, you can wash them, use them, wash them again, whatever else. 100 nights. If you don't like them, then you can return them. But I'm telling you right now, I don't think you're going to return them because they're just such high quality. And they stand behind their products. 10-year warranty. So once you feel the level of comfort, you'll want it to last a decade. And if something goes wrong, they'll take care of you. So Black Friday has come early at Cozy Earth. Right now, you can stack my code, 49ersRush, no spaces, 49ersRUSH, on top of the site-wide sale, giving you up to 40% off in savings. That's CozyEarth.com, code 49ersRush, for up to 40% off in savings. These deals won't last long, so start your holiday shopping today. And if you get a post-purchase survey, be sure to mention that you heard about Cozy Earth right here on the 49ers Rush podcast. Wrap the ones you love in luxury with Cozy Earth. Whether you're new to cigars or a seasoned pro, Cigars International makes it easy to find the right cigar with helpful guides, staff reviews, and expert advice. And it's not just about cigars. Cigars International also offers a wide range of accessories, humidors, and more to elevate your smoking experience. Now, it's football season, and there's nothing more perfect for tailgating with your buddies or enjoying at home while watching the game. And with fast, free shipping and their 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that Cigars International stands behind every order. So use code 49ers, that's 49ERS at checkout, for 20% off your order of $50 or more, plus free shipping. Or visit CigarsInternational.com/49ers and the discount will automatically apply. You got a buddy's birthday coming up and you don't know what to get them? Cigars International. You got Christmas gifts that people keep asking, what do you want? What do you want? You tell them. Go to CigarsInternational.com/49ers and get your gift there.
Hey, Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. Now, I don't know if you've heard, but Mint's premium wireless is $15 a month. But I'd like to offer one other perk. We have no stores. That means no small talk.
Crazy weather we're having.
No, it's not. It's just weather. It is an introvert's dream. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
So let's talk negatives. Because I think that there are three like nuclear bomb type players on this roster currently that, not to say you can't win with them, right? Can't win with them. Like, won't do it. Not that bad, but just don't fit what the 49ers do, okay? So, like, I will say this. Jair Brown doesn't fit the 49ers. This is not a new revelation. This is not, he just doesn't fit the personality, the attitude of the defense. I don't know what he does well. Gave up several touchdowns. I counted three touchdowns that he was responsible for. Now, you look at the stats. He led the team in tackles. He had 10 tackles and one pass breakup. Like, the first drive, he had two positive plays. Jair Brown don't fit. You look at just the mismanagement. You had the huge missed tackle against Puka for the opening touchdown. Like, literally unblocked, one-on-one. There was space. There's no space. So it's not like, oh, it's a difficult tackle because Puka could juke outside, inside. No. Everybody had it hemmed. He's the alley player. You have your outside. Demo pushes it in. You have the linebackers coming and the defense is in. Like, it's a tight tunnel. Oklahoma drill. He dives at the ground, doesn't extend his arms. Puka just runs through his damn soul for a touchdown. Just Jair Brown's scared of contact. Whenever I say he doesn't fit the 49ers, they only scout defensive backs that love contact and want to help in the run game. Jair Brown doesn't do that. He did at Penn State, but after Nick Sorensen got a hold of him, this dude is not the same human being. He's not the same football player. He's awful. Then you go out there, and I did think that this was another really bad game by Robert Saleh. I don't think that it was a good game plan whatsoever. You give up three straight drives for touchdowns, and I understand. No Nick Bosa, no Fred Warner, no Alfred Collins. Injuries are huge. But whenever you keep blitzing number 27, who is scared to blitz, he literally blitzes and then stops his feet and plays patty cake with the running back in pass pro. Literally patty cake. Let's go. Yeah. Cinderella dressed in. You know what? Like, dude just wants to be blocked by a running back because he's scared of contact. There's no way he's going around him at all. And so you blitzed him three times in one drive. It was a touchdown drive. Every single time you blitzed him, one, you don't blitz Matt Stafford over and over again. Two, blitz somebody with bad intentions. You have Malik Mustafa. You have Tatum Bethune. You have Upton Stout. You have. Don't blitz the softest person on your roster. Repeatedly. It's just, you might as well be playing with 10 players. It was just, dude was just, he's so soft. I can't do soft. I can't do that. It's antithetical to what it means to be a defensive player. I was a fullback and a tight end, and I'd go wherever they needed. I even took snaps at quarterback whenever we had a guy get hurt. Like, I'm not a good athlete, but I'm mean as hell. And so, like, I wanted to play on the defensive side from a very, very young age. It's a personality, and as a coach, like a special teams coordinator first, DC, then head coach. If I could choose what I wanted to be, I want to be a defensive coordinator. That's what I want to be. And like, you could tell whenever you're going through training camp. And again, high school football is big time different, you know, than NFL. I understand that. But the makeup of a person matters to play on that side of the ball. It matters. He ain't got it. Then he gives up a touchdown run, and it won't even count as a missed tackle because he didn't touch him. He literally dove and didn't touch the player. Unblocked. Alley defender. Like, I'm telling you right now, number 27 is a major, major issue. And you keep healthy scratching Marquise Siegel, who can't cover, but I guarantee you this, he has not given up near as many touchdowns as Jair Brown, and he is a fit for what you're doing. Develop the youth. Develop them. Jair Brown is not part of this team long term. Ever. Ever. Dude needs to go play 7-7. And I hate the negativity, but whenever you have three touchdowns in a game, divisional game at home, you have so many missed tackles that won't even register because you don't touch the ball carrier and you're unblocked. It's just not him, man. Like, he's not good. He's not good. He's awful. He needs to go play on a different team with a different scheme. Like, and you saw it. Like, they'd zoom in on his face after the touchdowns multiple times on the broadcast view, and you just see him like, golly. You see players turn to him and like, dude, what are you doing? Top five safety in the league. Not even top five safety on this team. And, you know, and I will say this, you know, I like the 49ers front office. I really do. Are they perfect? They are not. Michael, I appreciate the super chat. He says, why is our front office so trash? My biggest complaints about the front office. Should you have added more talent in the trade deadline? Yes. Should you have overpaid? No. Maybe you should have went after some lesser talent for some sixth round picks, whatever. I don't know. Something along those lines. But what you have right now is not good enough. And you bet on what's coming back. You bet on Bryce Huff. You bet on Ricky Pearsall. You bet on whatever. Bryce Huff was non-existent. 47 played today. He played today. Did he register? He didn't register. He had three quarterback hits. They all came late. But like, 47 didn't look like 47. I know he's coming back from an injury. But like, if this is what you're going to get, like, you're going to be in trouble. You're going to have to outscore. It's going to be first one to 30 points wins. I don't think you're going to give up a lot of 40-point efforts. But, man, you still got to play the Seahawks. Good Lord. They put up 30 points in the first half. But, yeah, my biggest complaint with the front office, it's not even the injuries. It's the lack of personnel evaluation. Why is Jair Brown out there and Marquise Siegel, a rookie who fits your personality and temperament, not getting playing time? Not getting out there. Like, I understand with Nick Martin because he's so bad at special teams. Maybe it's time for him. We'll talk about that in a second. But like Marquise Siegel, we saw the positive trend. He did get beat on that one deep ball whenever it was, you know, single high safety. That was huge. But he still hasn't given up as many touchdowns as Jair Brown. Like, I don't know. Why are you writing off a rookie with upside that fits your personality and at least can tackle? Jair Brown can't tackle. He cannot. He will not. He will not. He doesn't fit what you do. Now, the second catastrophic player, oh, I don't even want to get into this. I'm going to get mad. I tell you what, I got to do this because I'm about to get mad. Let's do this. If you're coming next week, if you're traveling out to Arizona, we're going to be there. We're going to be out at Salt Tacos and Tequila. We're going to be having a tailgate, which I love the time because we rent out Salt upstairs and we have all the TVs, so we get to watch the early games. Great Mexican food, off the freaking charts. Get great drinks. We have a great time up there. Then we walk to the stadium together. That's our tailgate. And then the day before, we'll also be at Salt, but then we have the entire facility. That's going to be an absolute good time. We go to Arizona every year. The chapter out there is just off the charts. So come party with us. And as always, we're always in the same place.
49ers Rush Road Trip is going into its sixth year with over 40 events at road games. If you are traveling to see the 49ers play this year, you got to come party with us. And on top of that, we give games, trivia, giveaways. We've partnered with TickPick this year. All you have to do is search 49ers Rush on any of the TickPick sites, apps, you name it. And on top of all of that, best dressed, giveaways, autographed jerseys, kids are always included, and get in for free with a ticketed adult. And a lot of times for select cities, we will have 49ers legends come out and you get to meet and greet them and get an autograph. Navarro Bowman, Frank Gore, Patrick Willis, Fred Warner are all players that we have worked with in the past. And trust me, if you want to build the 49ers community, you're traveling by yourself, we got you covered. 49ersRushRoadTrip.com.
Shout out to Atomic. Look at this. We will bounce back next week. Excited to party with y'all in Arizona at Westgate, 49ers Rush Road Trip. Man, thank you. I'm excited to see you. We always have a great time out there. Arizona is so fun. So, yeah, that's going to be great. So if you know anybody going down there, send them our flyer. It's up on all of our social media. Yeah, just tell them to go to the TickPick app, search 49ers Rush, or go to 49ers Rush Road Trip.com. That is going to be there. Right here, Eric, appreciate you, man. Big J, the Niners are insistent on listening to their coaches when drafting. Robert Saleh even said, like, this, I've been to other places. This organization listens to their coaches more than any other team I've ever been with. And this is somebody that's, you know, Robert Saleh has been with Seattle. He was with Washington. He was with Tampa. He was with the Falcons. He was so many places. Jaguar, like, this team. Now, it's a negative and a positive. The 49ers have drafted very well. I know we could list off all the negatives that they do, but the 49ers do completely neglect several positions. Haven't drafted offensive tackle in four drafts. Only team in the NFL to do that. Haven't drafted a center in 10 plus years. Only team in the NFL to do that. Don't draft free safeties. You keep drafting the same strong safety over and over and over again, and then you can't cover. You don't have safeties that can cover. They were even making fun of the 49ers safeties. And like Tom Brady was like, yeah, their safeties can't cover. It's an issue. Now, Eric says, can they please listen to you, Krug and Ant, Hate Soft? I think they've got a long list of people to listen to before they ever listen to me. But thank you, Eric. I do appreciate that very, very much. It leads me to my next issue. I want to talk about a guy that I'm no longer going to say his name. For those of you that have been with the show long enough, y'all remember number 27, the Barnacle, Dante Johnson. I don't like speaking negative against people continuously. It bothers the hell out of me because I don't want to be a negative person. Now, I know after a show this we overreact and, you know, this is a therapy session. We're getting negatives out there. We're doing all that. And so, yeah, there's going to be some negative stuff out there. I'm going to attempt. Number 64 is now in replace of Jake Brindle. I don't want to say his name ever again. So I'm hoping that's the last time I say his name on this because of just how bad he is. The 49ers have not been able to run the ball all stinking year until number 64 got injured. And I hate injuries. I'm not happy that he was injured. But then Matt Hennessy comes in. All of a sudden, you could run the ball. Well, Dexter Lawrence last week, one of the best defensive tackles in the NFL, had one tackle and one pressure. He lined up slanted, in shade, nose guard, A-gap, every single snap against Matt Hennessy. Handled his business. One tackle. So tonight, a little peek behind the curtain here, I have three views of the game up, all separated by 9 seconds, right? So I watch the play once, then I go to my second TV. I have that delayed, you know, 9 to 10 seconds. I watch the second play. Then I go to my computer. I have it on there again. So I'm watching every single play three times in a row so that I could see. So when the 49ers were out there and we did a run play, I would go to my second screen. Who is Jake Brindle 64 blocking? Did that person make the tackle? Not necessarily was it a good block, bad block, whatever else. Who was number 64 blocking? And did his guy make the tackle? Eight times, whomever number 64 was blocking made the tackle on a run play. Well, we ran the ball 21 times. The 49ers ran the ball 21 times. Eight of those times, the person number 64 was accountable for made the play. Now, some of those, and again, provide some context here. Some of those were positive plays, but you go from Matt Hennessy, his guy made one tackle, and you ran the ball 30 plus times to now you run the ball 20 times, 8 tackles. I cannot emphasize how big of a loss it is continuously. My biggest critique of this front office is poor player performance and evaluations. There is no reason that 64 should be playing in this game. None whatsoever. And I'm not even a Matt Hennessy truther. He doesn't fit what you're trying to do. He quits after 2 seconds. Very first run play of the game. Blocks for a second, stops, turns around, watches his guy tackle for CMC for no gain. No gain, number 64. Literally set the tone. Set the tone watching your guy get tackled. Set the tone. Set the freaking tone in a negative way. It is so bad. It is so bad. Joe says, Brittle got bull rushed also, and on the run game was terrible. On that 4th-and-1, McCaffrey could not get the first down because of, number 64, dumb. It just keeps happening. And, like, Kyle Shanahan trusts his position coaches. And, like, the truest OC on the team, like, if you're going, like, seniority, it's not Kubiak. It would be Chris Forster. And I like Chris Forster. I like him a lot. But this is a major issue. Is he falls in love with guys and who they are as a person, which is great, but that is tainting his evaluation. 64 should not be playing for the 49ers at all. Period, period, period. It is awful. Jam says, Forster doesn't show Brindle negative plays on Monday. I don't think that they do. Like, at least, like, you're either coaching it or letting it happen. You are allowing this to happen. And I was hoping when 61 came in and showed for 3 consecutive games, this is what a center looks like, Matt Hennessy. You're allowed to block to the whistle. You can push the pile. You can help your team up. You can do all these things. Nope. 64 came back, backtracking away from, piles, running away. I don't want to get hurt. Does not fit who this team is. That's on the front office. That is on the front office. Dale, appreciate you, man. Thank you for the super chat. Love how you say his number, won't say it. I don't like Jake. I'll say it. Jake Brindle's probably awesome. He's everybody's best friend. Golfing with Purdy during the contract extension when it gets announced. He's probably amazing. He's probably great. This show is about football. This show is about film. This show is about that. He sucks balls. He is the worst. The worst consistently. You have pads on. Use them. There's a whistle that tells you when the play is over. Go until you hear that. It's football 101, number 64. It's simple. How has nobody said, hey, number 64, will you just keep blocking? Stop turning around. Nothing good happens when you turn around and watch. You don't even recover fumbles when they're fumble. You make business choices and get out of the way of the ball. Did that last year against Arizona. Fumble right in front of them, literally step backwards. Cam Newton did. Sold out. But, hey, it's what it is. So, my number two, number one is Jair Brown. Number two is number 64. I've got one more. Eric, thanks for the super chat, my friend. Big J, Brindle can single-handedly stop our run game. Hennessy against Lawrence was dominant. What are we doing? Just no on 64, right? You always see the signs like, vote yes, vote no, prop 50, blah, blah, blah. Like, yeah, no on 64. And we haven't drafted a center in a decade. Haven't drafted a center in a decade. Get me warmed up back here. All right, last one. And this one, we'll see how this goes. Number three, catastrophic player on the 49ers roster. I don't even like saying it. D Winters. That dude is lost. He is completely lost. He has no clue what is happening. Two times, you go a dime situation, which is six DBs. You pull off the linebacker.
That dude's still out there. He's still there. He is still there. He had to call a timeout once, and then you got a 5-yard penalty on third and long because 53 doesn't even know the damn play. He's a linebacker. Dude, we're subbing you out because you suck. You can't even get off the field right. Ah, what's up, man? Alex, my man, Seattle Niner faithful, leader of the chapter, one of the best chapters ever. John, I wish I was there to buy you a shot or six. Yeah. And I think my problem, my problem with D winners, again, I can't do soft. I don't even know. I don't want to say this. I can't do football dumb. Those are like the two things. Again, I'm approaching this from a coaching perspective, a coach for, you know, 15 plus years. It's what it is. Dumb does not work for me. Now, D Winters isn't soft. He can't tackle. He makes poor decisions. But, like, he is just on a delay when it comes to diagnosing the play. He can't do it. It just doesn't work. He can't guard the flats, which in a quarters, four deep, three under, you have to have your Will Backer guard the flats. Think about all the plays that Dre Greenlaw made in the hook to curl to flats, which is out to the numbers and coverage. That is what made Dre Greenlaw so special. Yeah, he'd kill people and he'd hit, but he could cover. He could cover so well. D Winters just can't do it. It'd be a pass play. We're in palms quarter coverage, which means we got four guys dropping back. You got three underneath. You got one in the hook to curl zone right on top of the ball. And you've got a nickel, if we're in nickel, or the number three linebacker, Sam guy, and the Will on the opposite side got to get to the flats. It's so simple. It won't even be a play action play. D Winters is staring at the quarterback. And if you watch the film breakdowns with us on the 49ersrush.com, you know this. It's repeated 10 times a game. You'll get a pass read and his feet just sit there. They just sit there. All of a sudden you got a back flaring out, a tight end or whatever else. He just sits there. The quarterback throws it. He'll look and then he'll start to run. And it's just like, dude, there is a disconnect in the brain to the feet. It's just football dumb. Like, you can't do anything with that. Like, and he started the year off great, and he was playing quick. Now he's playing so slow. He's playing slow against the run. He's playing slow against the screen. And, like, the one thing that D Winters was always good at was screens and outside rush attempts. Like, he would scrape over the top with his speed and get there. He's not even doing that anymore. He literally went the wrong way twice on outside runs and ran into his own guy. Going the wrong way. Like, can't do it in the run. Can't tackle whenever he is there. Can't cover in the flats. Can't get off the field right. And I know everybody's talking about, like, injuries, 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 injuries. And you're right. Injuries are huge. You can't control that right now. What you can control is number 27, number 64, and number 53, who all are starters, not because of injuries. None of those guys, all of those guys were projected starters. Jair Brown, you know, he wasn't starting early because of Marquis Siegel and he had an injury. Don't care. None of those guys are starting right now because of injuries. So we could sit here and we could do Bosa, and Warner, and I understand that. That's fair. That doesn't have anything to do with 53, 64, or 27. Nothing. Players that don't fit your culture or just dumb. And not dumb. Like, Jerry Brown's smart. I've seen he's well-spoken. He's incredible. I'm just saying they don't fit us. If that makes sense. Like, so I'm not trying to attack them as people. And I know it's hard to disassociate those two things because we're using their names and stuff. And this is something that I struggle with. But my job, while you are here, is to say, why did this happen? It happened because you have these catastrophic players that don't fit through lack of effort, number 64, through too soft, needs to play 7-on-7 touch, Jair Brown. Can't figure out what the hell is going on, D Winters. That's it. Like, you have control of these things, but you're not doing anything about it, right? How is it not being seen? That's my issue. And yeah, we could talk scheme, we could talk X's and O's, and there's some issues that I have there. But with those three players, can't fix it. You can't do it. Like, I don't want to go there. I don't want to go there. Now, a lot of people, whatever I said, I've got Juwan Jennings with the asterisk in this same category, these main negative players. Probably at his best game of the year, you know, 6 catches, 71 yards, and a touchdown. That's pretty good. That fumble, you dug the whole team in a hole because you can't protect the ball. It's a great punch out by them, but how many negative plays can 15 have to still give that guy 9 targets? Kendrick Bourne got 1 target. I think that's actually the only bet we didn't hit on. I think that's it. As we bet Kendrick Bourne over 2.5 receptions. We did not hit that. We hit every single other freaking bet. Everyone. And I hope you bet with us because, man, we cleaned up this week. Guys, we have been working with MyBookie for almost 8 years now. And it doesn't matter what it is that you want to bet on. You want a casino. You want to bet on football, draft, over, unders, player props, basketball, baseball, politics, you name it. They got it all. So go to MyBookie, use promo code 49ers, and you're going to get a bet back bonus, which means when you bet something and you click to opt in and you don't win that bet, you get it all back. Comes with a one-time rollover, which is like nothing. And again, this is a site that you can trust because we've been using them all the time. And if you're one of those people that's just like, I don't even know what to do. I don't know where to find the stuff, whatever else. Well, we take care of that for you as well. Over on the 49ersrush.com and our Patreon page, we post our weekly season-long draft bets, everything 49ers, every single week. We post them on Friday or Saturday, depending on the game. And we walk you through. We have how-to videos, how to do a teaser bet, how to do parlays, all that different stuff. So if you want to get involved and you want to check it, bet anything, anytime at MyBookie and use promo code 49ers. That's 49ERS for your bet back bonus. You're in charge. Shout out to NY Niners. He says, I'm thankful for having plenty of alcohol today. That is huge. We post our bets every Saturday, sometimes Friday, sometimes Saturday, sometimes early Sunday if I'm traveling. But we post those on the 49ersrush.com and on our Patreon channel. And, man, we have cleaned up this year. We did a 2-team teaser, Giants and Patriots, hit that. And I said, if you're feeling risky, I'm also doing a 2-team parlay with those. We hit that. We did a 4-team teaser with the Niners where we got Niners plus 19. That covered. We took Lions covered, Seahawks covered. We just need the Eagles to not lose by 14 so they could still lose, which I hope happens. We get paid there. Missed the Niners on the first drive. That was the one. Thank you, Juwan Jennings. They were in field goal range. Yeah, terrible, terrible, terrible. Kyron Williams under 15.5 carries. Guess what? He had 14 carries. Got paid. CMC over 51 receiving yards. Paid. DeMarcus Robinson over 30.5 receiving yards. Paid. We made some freaking money this week, and I hope you bet with us. If you haven't yet, man, we have killed it. We've only had 2 bad weeks through 10. We've had 2 push weeks. We've had 6 huge positive weeks, 2 negative weeks. You've been betting with us. We're doing very well. Dale, he says, do we have a drafting strategy? Miss, miss, miss. The drafting strategy of the 49ers is plug holes on the roster. Attack premium positions that the Niners see as premium positions early, which is wide receiver, defensive line. That's pretty much it. That's about all they'll draft in the first round. You can throw quarterback in there if you want to talk to Trey Lance, trade, whatever else. That's it. Like D-line wide receiver, which is so funny because we have literally the worst wide receiving core in the NFL. I do believe that. Well, maybe not after the trade deadline. And again, that's without Pearsall, without Ayuk, still an issue. But second, third, fourth round, it changes. And then day 3 changes as well. They plug holes. They don't draft best player available. They are the antithesis to the Eagles. Eagles want to find starters in the 7th round. 49ers want to draft special teamers. You literally spend a 3rd round. Just last year, you had the highest drafted kicker and highest drafted punter in the NFL. Neither one of them, both of them were bottom 5 last year. Both of them. Highest drafted kicker and punter. Now you sign guys off the street and they're both top five at their thing. Like, it's a misuse of resources. Way too many running backs, way too many wide receivers. No O linemen except for guards. But I do believe, and maybe I'm in a small minority here, I actually think the 49ers are a good drafting team. I mean, just look at the home runs. Now, are there misses? Yes. Do I get pissed? Yes. But, man, you're talking Fred Warner, George Kittle, Colton McKivitz I'm putting in there for sure, Dre Greenlaw. Like, you can go up and down the spectrum. Debo Ayuk, those were hits. Even this year's draft classes, Alfred Collins is a home run. You didn't have him out there, and it showed you. Dude dislocated his shoulder last week in the game, reset it, and went back out and played. Cost him today. But drafting strategy, I disagree with a lot of the philosophical construct of it. But, dude, they do hit. They do hit. Eric, thank you, man. He says, preach, brother. 53 missing yet. Where is Nick Martin? Who cares about special teams? We talk about take lumps. Yeah, I'm with you. I want to see anybody besides 53. I actually think it would be better for D Winners if he sat. And maybe that's what they're trying to do with Marquis Siegel, but we're past that now. Put out, like, yeah, Nick Martin, I want to see it. I'd rather see Curtis Robinson, to be honest with you. Every time Curtis Robinson goes in, he plays well, relatively well. We got lucky with the Tatum Bethune. Like, that could have been catastrophic. But yeah, I'm with you. I am with you there. Now, another comment from Eric. Thank you so much. He says, one of the stoppers on fourth down against the Rams in week five win was Siegel. Yeah, Siegel. It was, yeah, you had Siegel out there, and you had Alfred Collins. Neither one of those rookies were out there. That was a killer. And now he's a healthy scratch. I hate it too, man. I can't stand it. Can't stand it. Really, really can't. So, let's see here. Checking just some of the comments. And so, like, you got to take your lumps. Now, you look at the standings, and I think that this is what's important. You were third in the division before this loss. You're still third in the division. You're 6-4. You are not commanding anything. You're two games behind because you've got Seattle 7-2, and you've got the Rams who are 7-2. Now, the good news is they finally play each other next week. So one of those teams is going to lose, but second in division does you nothing. The playoffs and winning the division is basically what's important. And so, like, how do you get to that point? Now, the Niners are 6-4. They're 3-1 in the division, still best divisional record. You've got Rams 2-1. I'm sorry, Rams 1-1, Seattle 2-1. Conference, you're 6-2. The 49ers still have the most division wins in the entire NFL. Or NFC, and they have the most conference wins in the NFC. So that means tie breaks will go the 49ers' way. And remember this, the 49ers had 6 wins all of last year. All of last year. You're already there. Now, if the playoffs were right now, which thankfully they are not, yeah, 49ers are out of the playoffs. A lot of that just has to do with tiebreaker rules because you have a late bye. So, you know, right now you have the Lions who are 6-3 and the 6th seed, and you got the Bears that are 6-3 as the 7th seed, right? But you would beat both of them based off of conference matchups. You would be if you had the same record as them, but you don't because they've already had their byes, you haven't. So it's going to kind of shake out. Now, the NFC is it's stacked. 7 teams get in. Right now you're the 8th seed. You're the odd man out. But then you look at the schedule, and it's like, man, you've got at Arizona next week, which will be there. You've got Carolina Panthers. They're up and down. They just lost to the Saints. You've got the Cleveland Browns. Let's be very real. You've got a bye week. Then you've got the Tennessee Titans. Then you've got the Colts at the Colts, which will be there too. That's a tough game. That defense is stellar. Then you've got the Bears, which might be – that game might be for something. And then the Seahawks. Like, you get to 10 wins with your conference record and your division record, you're making the playoffs. If you get to 10 wins, and I know somebody's going to be like, well, Seattle didn't, you know, they had 10 wins. They didn't get in. Yeah, but they didn't have the conference wins or the division wins that you have. If you get 4 more wins, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 wins. You have four more wins, you're in. And now we are at how many weeks in a row? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 straight weeks. Win, loss, alternating. 8 straight weeks. 8 straight weeks in a row. Win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss, win, loss. Not saying that's a good thing, but I'm saying if you keep at this 500 pace and you get those four wins, you will be in the playoffs. Now, is this a Super Bowl caliber team? I don't think so. I don't think that the 49ers front office thinks it is either. Otherwise, they would have been more aggressive at the trade deadline. But I do think that this is a team that can make the playoffs because you started 3-0, because you have the division wins, because you have the conference wins, because you have an easy schedule. I think that you can get in the playoffs and do some damage. I mean, Shanahan has an 8-4 playoff win record. Like, we have the 49ers have limped into the playoffs in the past and done damage. That can happen again. It really, and yeah, Dale, did anybody think the Giants were a Super Bowl caliber team when they beat the undefeated Pats? They did that twice. They beat us, the stupid double fumble and all that different stuff. So, like, the Niners can still have a successful season. Are they going to be the one seed? No. No, they're not. Are they going to win out? No, it's not happening. Are they going to be, you know, at the Super Bowl in Santa Clara, whatever, you know, we're hosting it? Probably not. Does that mean the season's over? It's not. And this up and down, that's the type of team it is. It's a gritty team. This was not gritty. And, you know, I think it's only the second. Yeah, you've had now three losses by double digits. The Bucs beat you by 11. The Texans beat you by 11. And then this one. Ugh. Yeah, this one you lost 16. Worst loss of the year at home against a division opponent and the refs. You lost to the most healthy, hottest team in the NFL. Let's just be real. And you got pretty damn lucky to steal the week 5 game against the Rams. You got really, really lucky. Man, it's frustrating. No doubt about that. Silent, appreciate the super chat. Said Giants had a monster front four. Us, however, not much, but they didn't have Christian McCaffrey. Like there's different ways to win. You know what? That I think that's the thing. Like this 49ers team, great special teams, offensive weapons. Like the offense is good. The offense is good. You ain't gonna win this with defense. It's just not what you're gonna do. But you get some stops, and you got to capitalize on turnovers. Like, Renardo Green has played relatively well. This wasn't one of his better games. But, man, that ball hit you in the palms, both hands. You got to take advantage of those. You ain't going to beat you barely beat the Rams in overtime when you were up 2-0 in the turnover category, and you had Fred Warner and Nick Bosa. You're not going to beat the Rams without those guys down 1-0 in the turnover battle. You have to seize those moments. And the Niners just aren't doing that. You've got to take hold of your opportunities whenever you get them. Eric, again, appreciate you, man. Love all these questions. NY Niner, I hope you have some good craft beer. Oh, talking about the comment earlier. I went to school there, hold it down myself. LA, there we go, man. That's why I love the community. I love the back and forth. I appreciate the support. Yeah, right here. You can't win without pass rush stop. Well, I mean, we had more sacks than they did. They won. They had one quarterback hit. The 49ers had 8 quarterback hits. So, like, yeah, I'm with you. The pass rush is a major issue. But, like, they had 0 sacks and 1 quarterback hit. Our quarterback was on fire, man. Mac Jones was the best quarterback today. And the 49ers offensive line. I want to get back to some more positives that I've got 5 pages of notes. I'm not going to get through half of it. More positives. Let's get back to the positives. Brian freaking Robinson. Are you kidding me? This dude goes out there, 8 carries, 41 yards, 5.1 yards per carry, and a touchdown. CMC had 12 carries for 30 yards, 2.5 yards. Like, I'm not saying less CMC, but this is what I want. I want this timeshare. And then you look at, you know, Brian Robinson had 1 catch for 4 yards on 1 target, but like, it's not like he's completely inept in the passing game. More like the attitude that number 3 brings is just go right at him. And so, man, like, that is huge. And like I used to tell my teams this. Thank you, Tommy. Says, John, I appreciate your positivity after a loss. It's calming. You've got to put it into perspective. It's never as good as or as bad as you think it is, ever. That's just not the way football is. There's 100 plus plays, and there's 22 guys on the field every single play. It's not all wins and all losses, and I know it gets boiled down to a stat sheet, W or an L. And in today's society, you suck or you're the best ever. You're a goat or you're a bum. I hate that. That is not real life, and that's not the story of football. There are positives. The 49ers still 100% control their destiny. Would you like to win this game? Yeah. Were you the most injured team in the NFL? Yes. Did you play the most healthy team in the NFL? Yeah, you did. Did you lose? Yep. I struggled. I put a bet in on the Niners plus 19. I took 19 points, and they almost didn't even cover that. Could they have won this game? Yeah. Was it close? No. No, it was not. Now, other positives. Let's talk the 49ers offensive line. Not great run blocking, but the pass protection was off the freaking charts, including number 64. Pass protection was great. Really, really was. And, you know, the Rams have one of the best pass rush units in the NFL. They got one quarterback hit, zero sacks. It was working. You switch up the fourth down. You get that fourth down. Don't get the extra point blocked. Don't have the Juwan Jennings fumble. Come up with the interception. Boom. Is that 16 points? I think it's pretty damn near close, right? So, like, even in a game where it feels like you got boat race down 21-0, you switch 3 to 4 plays. And you can talk about this with any game. But, dude, as a coach, like, look, guys. I know down 21-0's not good, and we're slow starters. 3 consecutive weeks in a row, the defense has given up an opening drive touchdown, 10-plus play touchdown drive. That's problematic. But you change 1, 2, 3, 4 plays, you're winning this game. You're winning this game. So the pass protection was all. How many times have we been like, dude, we can't protect the quarterback, can't protect. And it's not like it was just quick passes. No. There was a lot of quick passes, but there was also some 5 and 7 step drops. Once the run game started going and you were long in the drive, Kyle was mixing in. Play calling from Kyle Shanahan was awesome. Even the 4th and 1 call run off the left side, I did not think was a bad call. You ran at their worst run defender in Byron Young. And I talked about this on Wayne's show. I talked about this with Kruger. Like, run at their small pass rushers. Problem was Luke Farrell stopped his feet. Perfect block for a 2nd and a half. Number 64 Stiles just stopped his feet. He just quit. Should have been Brian Robinson in on that play. But the play call was not a bad play call. It wasn't executed right. It was called to perfection. Luke Farrell just missed the block. That's all there is to it. And Luke Farrell didn't even have a bad game. He got the touchdown, whatever else. Like, it wasn't bad. But, like, man, just talk, like, block, bring your feet. Why are your feet stopping? Don't do that. Is that a different game? I don't know. The left guard spot, good gosh. And I think, you know, this obviously contributes to the positive pass protection. Spencer Burford goes out there, and he was rotating with Ben Bartsch earlier. But, dude, left guard spot was awesome. Now, is the run blocking as dominant as some of the other spots? No. But you've solidified that. Connor Colby's healthy scratch now. And I even said this a couple weeks ago, like, Kyle wanted Connor Colby out. He's a 7th-round rookie. Needs to develop. Needs to see things. Get more consistent. But the stunts and the overload blitzes to the left, not an issue. Not an issue anymore. That's because of the left guard spot. So O-line, pass protection, great. Run blocking, different story. 21 carries for 3.5 yards. Not going to get it done. Not going to get it done. A lot of that's number 64, which we talked about. Again, how many stops? Yeah, his guy made the tackle 8 times. That ain't good. Put in 61, you solve that. That's simple. And then Renardo Green, who I thought that he responded and rebounded well to a bad first couple drives. We were telegraphing quarters, though. Like, and that's the thing. I did not think Robert Saul had a good called game. Yeah, you're dealing with, you know, not a lot.
And I get that. But, dude, I'm just saying this. You go out there and you telegraph cover four off quarters and you've got both corners bailing, Matt Stafford's going to eat you for lunch. Out of the break, you're showing that you can't do that. I'm not saying you're going to, like, make Matt Stafford misdiagnose your coverage. That's not what I'm saying at all. But don't give him the answers to the test. And early on, man, you were showing Renardo Green off coverage, and so they just threw it right underneath over and over and over again. Got a little bit more, like, you know, non-vanilla later. It was an issue, man. I did not think Robert Saleh called a great game. I really, really didn't. Nate says, John, I'm sad I missed you week one as an active duty. I would have loved a Veterans Day weekend win, but not the end of the world. First off, thank you, Nate, for what you do. You are the best of all of us. And yeah, I'm sorry I missed you too, man. And next chance we get, I will be there with wherever that is. Shake your hand. Say thank you. Appreciate all you do, man. You are the best of us. Yacek, my man. Explain to me how it seemed that the Rams ran the same play over and over and over again. You have your checks in your hots each week. These two teams play each other. The 49ers run the most cover four in the NFL, quarters, right? Quarters palms is what we call it. Four deep, three under. I talked about it a little bit earlier. And so when you're installing, you just give the entire offense, hey, if they're telegraphing this, this is our play. And so you could do it from different formations, and they did it nonstop, and it worked nonstop. It's frustrating. It is very, very frustrating, and I do not like it. Sonia, what's up? Thank you for the super chat. Ask Kyle about missed picks and if he is aware. Ask if you get someone to make those decisions not familiar with TikTok. How else can I watch you? The best place, Twitter is where probably our biggest crowd is, but we're on Instagram as well. We're on TikTok, and we do the audio platform. We're probably bigger on the audio platform, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, all that stuff. Just type in 49ers Rush. But yeah, we show up everywhere. But if you want the actual thing to see all of and follow all of our stuff, which I appreciate you do, because again, if you're just catching us, YouTube's going to be temporarily shutting down our channel. It's coming. It's going to happen. So if you don't see YouTube videos, just know we're putting them somewhere else. It's just YouTube going to YouTube. Go to the49ersrush.com/links, LINKS, the49ersrush.com. Thank you, Sonia. I really do appreciate it. You guys are the best. Right here, Jim. Chapman hasn't talked about Kyle playing the starters during obvious garbage time. I talked a lot about that last week. Really upsets me. Now, there's two ways to look at this from a coaching perspective. Okay, in a loss, we've got to get things corrected. We've got to gel. We're not gelling. That's why we're losing. We got to keep our starters out there so that we can overcome and we can fix the issues that haven't been fixed yet. They get those reps. So in the future, that's a positive thing. That's one way. The second way to look at it is let's get young guys some development so that we can start to coach up. Kyle Shanahan is the worst in the NFL at this. He's not the only one. Like, Brian Daboll doing the same thing with, like there's lots that are bad with this. But I'm big, and again, I come from a high school standpoint, so my thing was, dude, everybody's going to play unless we're at the varsity level. If you want to play and you're, like, and you'd be honest with the players, like, dude, you're not going to play at the varsity level. You are not going to get snaps. So if you want to play, we're going to put you on JV, even if you're a senior. If you want playing time, you're going to play. You ain't playing varsity level if you're going to be a detriment to the team. If we're getting blown out, we'll put you in, but we can't guarantee, you know, if we're blowing somebody out, we'll put you in. But, like, that doesn't happen all the time. So you have those conversations. Now, the NFL is different. You ain't trying to make people feel better, but you are trying to develop. Kyle Shanahan doesn't do that. Robert Saleh doesn't do that. Like, put backups in and allowing, you know, backup young players to get snaps when the game's out of control does not do that. And that is a major negative to me. I hate that stuff. And so, yeah, I talked about that a lot last week, whenever you had, you know, Kyle Shanahan force feeding the ball to CMC whenever you're up double digits with a minute left. Dude's leading the NFL in touches. What are you doing? Put Isaac Garrido in there or Brian Robin, put somebody else in there. That's huge. And yeah, another giant thing. I was screaming at the screen and they called out on the broadcast. Why are you singling up Malik Mustafa one-on-one with Davante Adams in the red zone on third down? and telegraphing it. That's stupid as hell, Robert Saleh. I love Robert Saleh, and I want him to be the defensive coordinator for the next 15 years. Doesn't mean he's always perfect. Doesn't mean he's always right. And I think what a lot of fans or whatever is like, well, they know more than you do. Yeah, of course they do. I am not the defensive coordinator of the 49ers. That doesn't mean I'm wrong. They make mistakes a lot, a lot. And so, you know, hopefully we on this show aren't always negative, negative, fire Kyle, fire John Lynn, fire. Like, we're not those people. And yeah, anger is a very real emotion that I felt today at that game because I'm passionate. Like, I'm a fan first and foremost. Like, everybody, like, I am not a beat reporter. I'm not an insider. I'm not any of those. I'm a freaking fan, and I wear this hat faithful because I'm a fan of the freaking 49ers fans. They're my favorite people in the world. That's why we host all those events and go on the road trips and spend all that money and all that time, like, because I want people to have a good time. Like, but, man, there were some bad decisions out there. Telegraphing coverages, blitzing over and over again with the same type blitzes, singling up Malik Mustafa, not even your good cover safety. Malik's awesome. Dude, no, you ain't putting a safety one-on-one. Like, there are some issues. There are some major issues. Major issues. Right here, Niner fan, pretty sure it was just a personnel issue with Malik on Adams. I don't give a damn. You have to check out of that. We can't have Renardo Green guarding a tight end, split out past the numbers in red zone, and Malik Mustafa on Davante Adams, future Hall of Famer. Like, don't care. Like, can't do that. Like, it's not a personnel issue. It's you dumb as hell issue. And yeah, you will never get everything that you need installed. But shoot, at least, hey, Jair Brown, you're supposed to be a cover safety. Come over here. Hey, Upton Stout. I think we were in base there. But like, no, we're going to check out of whatever the hell we're in. We're not man coveraging, like, and telegraphing that from the break. Somebody's got to be able to change something. Like, you got to have an alert. Like, that was beat on the board. You got out coached in that moment, period. That's all that was. And Kyle does it to other people all the time. You remember when Christian McCaffrey was like 101 or wide open in the end zone last week? Like, yeah, offensive guy's going to scheme it up. That's what, and Sean McVay's awesome. He's a great damn coach. But dude, no, you got destroyed. Yeah, it was just twins. Yeah, it was just two wide receivers. Like, twins ain't hard. like you just do a check. It's just a check call. Check twins. It's simple. I mean, they were in 12 personnel. So, you know, it's one back, two tight ends, two wide receivers. Check 12, twins. Like, it's not hard. Like, that, you can make those checks in high school. You can do it in the NFL. We just weren't ready for it. And maybe they haven't put that on tape a lot. But, yeah, you just check over. At least put your good safety on them. Like the coverage guy. And yeah, this is part of it. We can't even sub out our Will linebacker because he don't know what the fuck is going on. So like, you're going to have those miscommunications. You had to burn a timeout because D Winters is clueless. You had lost 5 yards on a third and long because D Winters clueless. Like, and you know, Robert Saleh has been very adamant that he gave too much to Tatum Bethune for that Texans game. And that cost him. It's hard to do that stuff, but I'm just saying. And yeah, if it's 13 personnel, that's even easier. If you're a Twins and like, that's it. Thank you, Niner fan. Like, if it was 13 personnel, then that's even simpler. When they break the huddle, your corners chase that. If you're in man, you don't even have to check anything. You just put a linebacker on one of your tight ends and the safety's on the other two. Like, that is, dude, that's middle school. Like, that is easy. Anyway. Right here, BGN, would you send Lenore to the twin side? Yes. Or the coverage safety. Yes. Either one. But you should never blitz. 27 should be playing. 27 should be playing. 27 just can't be playing. Like, period. At all. Phillip, appreciate you, man. Niners aren't going anywhere with this defense. I'm already thinking about next year's draft. Don't do it, Phil. Be in the moment. I'm just joking. If you want to look at the draft stuff, I'm not doing it. Hey, we this year, we're still breaking down every single play. We're going to have you covered. And like, yeah, this was rough. The Rams are a damn good team. The Rams could be undefeated right now. They should have beat us. They should have beat the Eagles. Like, this was not a game the 49ers should have won. It's not.
But that's a good thing is, guess what? You can beat the Cardinals. You can beat the Panthers. You can beat the Browns. You can beat the Titans. You win those four games, you're in the playoffs. If you get to 10 wins, you're in the playoffs. Playoffs. Like, I do not think, Bobo, I know you've been saying this since before the season started. Bobo says this team is done. I completely disagree. Like, is this team good? If we were starting from scratch right now, would I feel this confident? No, but you are what your record says it is. And it's 6-4. Seven teams from the NFC get in. The 49ers are one of the best seven teams in the NFC. And the 49ers have beat the best two teams in the NFC, who is the Seattle Seahawks and the Rams. You've already beat them. So, is this the 2023 Niners? No. Is it the 2019 49ers? No. Could be the 2022 49ers. Ooh. Could it be the 2021 49ers? Ooh. I don't know. You're telling me there's a chance. What was that whole one in a million talk? Bobo says, D-U-N. Don't use my words against me. They're not done. But it's an uphill battle. Your schedule, your coaching, you still got the offense and special teams, guys. Like, when you're pissed off and you're like going to bed tonight and you're just like muttering to yourself and you're like, damn it, Juwan Jennings. And you're like, damn it, Jake Brand. Oh, number 64. Like, because I do that. Like, I replay everything in my head. Just remember, special teams. Woosaw. Special teams. That is huge. Keep the faith. Love you guys. We'll be live all week. If you're going to Arizona, come party with us. We're going to have a great time. Niners lose this one. That sucks. But the 49ers are 6-4 in control of the destiny and have a very easy schedule. And a bye week. Imagine that. One day, Ricky Pearsall will play for the 49ers. Again. Maybe. Till next time. Stay strong, faithful.